Well, look, House Republicans have been trying for 2 years, Anderson, to link the president to his son's activities, and that hasn't really panned out. There's been no financial gain shown for Biden, and so in that sense, this is about his son. It's not about him, but there's no doubt that supporters of President Trump, who's facing four separate trials, will try and conflate the two and muddy the waters to try and take some of the pressure off of himself. I think, Anderson, the most significant impact is not on the president as a candidate or as president. It's as a father.
I'm so tired of this defense that they are giving of him. Like, I actually heard it again this morning. I can't remember who I was watching, but I was watching something, and they were doing the same thing. They were saying, well, it's, you know, he's a president who is, he's in a difficult situation with his son, and he just really loves his son and is really trying hard to do everything possible for his son. And, you know, it's really mean, all of these people writing these stories about him and saying these things about him. It's so mean. Well, he is in, I mean, I was looking at the story, which I hate that we have to start our Friday off talking about this story. I'm crabby about it because it's gross and it has to do with disgusting Hunter Biden. But I mean, the truth of the matter is, I mean, when I was reading the story this morning, this dude dodged taxes so much. It's crazy. So I don't know. We got a lot to hit today.
Oh my God, I need this right now. I'm about to die.
So welcome to the show. Happy Friday to you. Dana Loesch here with you. And of course, you can listen to the radio program as we broadcast around the country. And I know my voice is weird. I don't know what's going on with it. It's been like this for a little bit. I think it's just seasonal changes. So I sound like, you know, when you work and talk radio, it's great when your voice cracks like a 13-year-old prepubescent. That's always wonderful. So welcome to the radio program. Like I said, Dana Loesch with you. This is our top story today because everyone else would get in trouble for this. I was looking at the charges that he had that were against him. Sorry, I'm pulling these up right now. I was looking at these charges that were against him. This guy spent $1 million on literally hookers and blow. I mean, it was literally hookers and blow. You were reading this nasty story, Kane, this morning. This totally gross story. The documents that have come out from this, from the investigation with oversight and everything else, this guy spent so much cash. I mean, more on his partying, his prostitutions, his grody club memberships. That's the other thing that's so gross. Oh my gosh, why am I talking about this today? My eyes need a bath after talking about this story. He could go to jail for 17 years. He could go to jail for such a long time, for 17 years. And they said that the wild spending in this indictment, $5 million total between 2016 and 2019 on drugs, prostitutes, some girlfriends, hotels, cars, clothing. I'm a little bit afraid to dive into the other items of a personal nature category. And then just what I think in one of his, he took out over $1.5 million from cash machines. And $5 million this whole time. He didn't pay over $1.5 million in taxes. Drag him. This makes me so angry. It makes me so angry because the whole $600 limitation that's part of the law, you could be in such trouble if you did even, if you don't declare, you sell a lawnmower, you resell a lawnmower due to the law, you don't include it, that $600 claim. You're going to be in so much trouble as a result of this. There are people who went to jail. I mean, Wesley Snipes went to jail. I think he owed less than this, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Wesley Snipes went to jail. if Hunter Biden gets to skirt this, I actually think that there should be a riot. I mean, a burn it the hell down riot. I mean, there's a lot of other stuff that angers me about this too, but what really gets me with this is, especially after this president passed this insane tax law that's going to jack everybody's taxes up. I die every single time I have to write a check to the Treasury. You can tell. People literally can tell. They're like, Dana seems crankier today. Yeah. Yeah, Dana does seem crankier today. That's absolutely correct. But all of this money, now think of it. A lot of this money, a lot of the time that this was happening, he was giving his son tons of money. I mean, remember his son was emailing him and saying, Dad, I need this, I need that. He was emailing him, texting him, asking him for cash. And he was giving his son money, which I don't know if he thought he was spending it on cars. I mean, you have, your 50-something-year-old grown child has a drug problem to this extent. In 2016 alone, he spent $1 million on hookers and blow. I think the least amount of money that he spent was on rehab. Yeah. In 2017, the least amount he spent was on sports and recreation. That was $8. But he spent $1.5 million on hookers and blow. Literally. Looking at 2018, grand total, almost $1.9 million in hookers and blow. I mean, this goes on and on.
That's more than the tax he owes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. It's so wild. 2019. And he withdrew a lot from the ATM. This was like his lowest year. So I guess, I don't know, maybe in 2019, he spent over $600,000 on hookers and blow. Now, that's the least amount of money of the hookers and blow spending that he's spent. I mean, for all of us, we're like, that's a lot of money. Not for Hunter Biden. That's the least amount he spent. So we have a grand total of, really, it's basically $5 million on hookers and blow. That's how much he spent on hookers and blow. He did spend a couple thousand here and there on home improvement and maintenance. And he's got his loan and mortgage payments were the lowest. And his food and groceries. I mean, I guess you don't need to go to the grocery store when you're... Can I make it really obvious? This might be kind of mean. Aren't people who are on cocaine to the extent that he is, aren't they skinny? Yeah. Isn't that a common thing that goes along with it?
Yeah.
Why is he not? I don't know. I'm just curious.
Eating well?
I don't know. I just thought he just doesn't look like the typical skinny cokehead, right?
Right.
Or am I just being like, Dana, you're basing all of your assessments on movies? I might be. I'm just saying. But this is the amount of money that he spent dodging taxes on this. So what does this mean? Because all has been laid out in exhaustive detail. All of this has been, all of it's out there. There was nothing. I was thinking about it. I don't know if there was, if the correct way to say it is that there was nothing that Joe Biden could do to prevent this from coming out, or there was nothing that Joe Biden wanted to do to prevent this from coming out. Because Hunter Biden's a good foil. If there's one thing I'm almost certain of is that Joe Biden would use his own kids to advance himself. I feel like they've done that throughout the years. That's why all their kids are screwed up. So I'm not quite sure what's happening because they've stalled on this. They have done everything possible over how many years has this been now? They've done everything possible to keep all of these things from coming out. And now they're out there. Now you got new charges, nine of them, brand new, last night. These are serious charges. You got six misdemeanors. Lorraine's going to have a piece up coming up about this too, up on Substack, chapter and verse. Three felony tax evasion charges. You get six misdemeanors. They say 1.4, but it's really almost 1.5. He could go to jail for 17 years. So how does this affect Joe Biden's reelection bid? I mean, are they just going to throw Hunter Biden out there and just let him languish publicly while Daddy Joe continues to try to keep the White House? How does this work? Especially when Hunter Biden's charges are directly related to flouting new laws that his dad's pushing. I mean, the tax law was a huge jewel in the Biden economic policy presentation. That was the centerpiece of that. You know, the gun laws that he continues to push, flouting of ATF requirement. I mean, all of this stuff. So I'm just wondering what's going on here, because they really worked hard to get him out of this and to hide all of it. And now all of a sudden, all at once, 9 charges overnight. I mean, this is his DOJ. This is the Biden DOJ. And it kind of looks like, I told you before, I think that they were going to start turning the heat up on Hunter as a way to push out Joe. Like, they'll say, well, you can't run for office, you can't run for re-election when your son is involved in all this stuff. You can't run for re-election with us. This is not something you're going to have to get out. Otherwise, the heat's going to get turned up on Hunter. That's what I think this is. It's going to get worse the longer that Joe stays in there. Fascinating stuff. We got a lot to get into today, as that's one of the first bits of it. The walls have closed in on all of these university presidents, well, a handful of them anyway, including the UPenn. We also have, gosh, a bunch of them. Their president, Liz McGill, she was one of the worst. There was a huge $100 million donor that now rescinded their donation to the university. We're going to discuss this. Did you see some of the photos? I included one of them in the newsletter that went out this morning for the radio prep of the Hamas terrorists that have been ferreted out of the tunnels in Gaza. And they were stripped and made, they had their hands tied behind their backs and they were made to kneel by the IDF that caught them. Well, there's outrage now. People are accusing the IDF of being mean because they stripped down Hamas, and people are so upset over this. We're going to talk about it coming up. So there's a lot of stuff to hit today. We'll talk about that coming up as we move. Our partners for this portion, Nimi Skincare. This is a USA company. They use USA ingredients, and they don't test on animals, and it's paraben-free. This is all stuff. I mean, maybe you have things that are important to you. These are all huge things that are important to me when I'm looking for products. But one of the biggest things that I think that Nimi Skincare does is they understand that women have different skincare needs. A woman in her 20s needs different things than a woman in her 30s. And a woman in her 60s needs things that are different from a woman in her 40s. Nimi Skincare understands this. They don't spend the time virtue signaling and trying to sell women products using men. They don't get into all of that. They don't. In fact, that's why Nimi Skincare was created, because they realized there's going to be a real problem for women in women's skincare products here coming up. So we need to fill this gap. So they have some really great, right now they have a winter bundle and gift cards. This is a great Christmas gift. I use the moisturizer, the moisturizing cleanser. That's the thing that I use that actually is one of my favorite things to use. So I deal with eczema. And I have to be super careful what I use, which is why all of the chemicals and all that stuff is incredibly important to me. So if it's clean on my skin, then if you don't have issues, then you're definitely not going to have issues. It's made right here in the US of A, and all of their products are 100% guaranteed. They're packed with proven ingredients that repair and revitalize the skin. Now, you can save 10% off using code Dana. And with Nimi Skincare, you don't have to compromise your values to have great skin. Visit NimiSkincare.com, N-I-M-I, and use promo code Dana for 10% off. Your skin will thank you. Thank you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Oh, man. There's so much gross stuff that I was reading some of Lorraine's notes for this Hunter Biden case. It's so bad, dude. I just totally grossed myself out right before we started this segment. I'm sorry. All right. I'm going to share it with you, because if I have to know it, you do too. Inside the Durango Casino and Resort, it's Las Vegas' new $780 million 15-story casino built miles away from the Sin City Strip. It's just for locals. It's just for townies. They designed it as a contemporary desert. I just heard the thought in Kane's head. I'm going to challenge that. Designed as a contemporary desert oasis. And they said that it's 83 square feet of casino floor. I don't gamble, but I like the showbiz aspect of it. You know what I mean? Like, I like the rat pack kind of stuff. $780 million casino and hotel, but it's only for locals. They're only targeting locals. They're not telling you can't go if you're a tourist, but they'd prefer, it's more of a local thing. It looks real ritzy on the inside. Now they have, apparently there's polished brass everywhere. I felt like that was singled out in this. Washington Post staffers walk out in the biggest labor protest in 48 years. So I guess, you know, that democracy is going to die in darkness over there. I've been waiting. You know how long I've been waiting to say that with something like this? Locusts are swarming the skies of Mexico, leaving people fearing the world is ending. Like some, locusts are gross. I'm thinking of cicadas. I like the noise that cicadas make, but they're gross. I just don't like looking at them. I pretend they don't exist. I pretend it's the sound that the tree makes. Locusts freak me out because they fly crazy. They're weird. They're ugly. They're gross. If I see one, I think that the world's ending. So I can't even imagine what people in Mexico seeing, like hordes of them, swarms of them. Yeah, that's nasty. But they said that it's been horrific. Just these swarms of locusts. There's video there. I mean, they're just all over. This gets horrific. People have to shut all their windows. They said that the gardens are being stripped. The lemons are being chewed on. Everything. And they said that it's just because of these insane locusts. It looks like if you put a bunch of pepper on your scrambled eggs, that's how many locusts look. That's it against the clouds and all these videos, that's how many there are. It's just so gross. Let's see here. Tiger Woods. I don't care about any of these other people. So here's the other thing. Hunter's online grody habit was 1/5 of the total Owasco business line of credit expenses in 2018. I am not even exaggerating. That's a lot. Did he keep the industry alive? That's so nasty. CD has a new definition. It's just Hunter Biden. It's just synonymous with Hunter Biden. That's so... We're going to be talking about this more. We're going to be talking about this a lot more. And last but not least, let's see. Hollywood jobs are down about 20% this year. But it's not because of the strikes, they say. The Hollywood Deadline had the story. They said it's not because of the strikes. They said that it peaked in April, but now they said there's almost 25,000 fewer workers. The strikes contributed to it, but there's a lot of other things, including, inflation hits everything. Stick with us. Our partners over at the Headrest Safe. This makes a great Christmas gift idea, the Headrest Safe. In fact, it's designed as a gun safe. It's an invisible, secure storage solution for items like jewelry and medication and cash and other valuables. But you can get to your stuff in 2.5 seconds. There's a magnetic access door, a user-friendly biometric fingerprint reader. They have an adjustable post system that ensures a perfect fit in any car or truck. I mean, it's easy to install and lock securely in place with a deployable toggle bolt. It's one of the most innovative products to hit the market. I think it's the most innovative vehicle safe that's out there because everything else is incredibly obvious. You might as well just slap a big sticker that says this is a vehicle safe on it. But this, though, it's the headrest safe. It's passenger side headrest, so there's no interference with driver performance or safety. And you can, if you don't need it for your firearm, you can still use it for your valuables, your cash, your medicine. Everybody goes on road trips. Everyone needs a storage solution like that when they're out on the road, if they're going to the game, whatever. And this, the headrest safe, it's undetectable. It fits that bill. And also the interior, if you're worried about the material matching the rest of your vehicle, it is seamless because they can match up to, I think it's over 85% of the materials used for car interiors. They can match it. So you need to check it out and see it for yourself. Great Christmas gift idea, by the way. Get one for you and then one as a gift. TheHeadRestSafe.com. Use code Dana. Get an exclusive $50 off. That is TheHeadRestSafe.com. Code Dana for $50 off. 100% money back guarantee.
Looking for the drive-thru version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
Oh, good Friday morning, everyone. I'm Phil Mattingly with Poppy Harlow in New York. This morning, the 2024 campaign trail is on a collision course with the U.S. justice system. Hunter Biden now facing 9 new federal criminal charges as investigators say he avoided paying $1.4 million in taxes, instead spending that money on things like drugs, escorts, pornography, and luxury hotels.
Now, Hunter Biden is not President Joe Biden, and there is no allegation in the 56-page indictment that the president did anything wrong. He's not even mentioned, but that is not stopping House Republicans from making Hunter Biden's business dealings a basis for their impeachment inquiry.
That was Guess That Network.
CNN?
Yeah, you're right, Kane. Hunter's not president, but, you know, it's not stopping those evil Republicans from pouncing and making Hunter's business dealings the basis for the inquiry. It's not stopping them. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you. You can listen coast to coast. Stream the radio program. I sound like Sugar Bear today. I think it's allergies. I'm fighting a little bit of laryngitis, so bear with me. But I sound more like our brother Sergio today. Like, we're always like, man, he talks smooth like butter. Like, he sounds like Sugar Bear. Now I sound like Sugar Bear today. No. Anyway, welcome back to the show. It's good to be with you. So this, the media, so there's two different arguments, two different defenses. The first defense is, how dare you guys? How dare you tell this loving father that he can't be there for his baby, infant, child, son? I mean, it's the season of Christmas. You know, Joe Biden is there trying to protect Hunter, who's born in a manger. Wait a minute, wrong. I mean, the way that they talk about it, I mean, it's like they're confusing the story of our Lord and Savior and then also talking about Hunter. The way they talk about how he's like this innocent, helpless little baby. There's a couple of different editorials this morning that I read, and I couldn't even finish them. They were so bad. It was so bad. But that's the first argument. The second one is that, well, these Republicans are trying so hard to get Joe that they're just pulling up this random stuff on Hunter to try to get him. But this is about Hunter. It doesn't have anything to do with Joe. Well, that's also not true. They keep saying that there's no receipts. Guys, you guys remember this. We've talked about this 6 ways to Sunday. I mean, I'm going back. I'm pulling up all of my notes. So in the very beginning when this started, they had pushed this defense that, well, Joe Biden, because he's Joe Biden and he's not Hunter Biden, he doesn't know anything about Hunter Biden's business dealings. He doesn't know. And you guys have no proof to the contrary. Well, that was before the House subcommittee began their investigations into this. And so they're like, well, we don't have any receipts yet, but we're going to get them. We got this laptop. We got these subpoenas. We're going to get this stuff. So it went from Joe Biden did not know at all anything about Hunter Biden's businesses, never talked to him. And remember, this all came out of the whole Ukraine dust up, the Burisma. Because it was weird that Burisma had put this coke addict on their board of an energy company. And he literally knows nothing about energy except the energy that he gets whenever he snorts coke. I don't know. I mean, seriously, what else does he know about it? And it all came out of this in the laptop, etc. So it went from Joe knows nothing about any of this to, well, Joe knows of his businesses. I mean, because of course he stays in touch with his infant child, 50-something-year-old Hunter Biden, of course. And it went from he doesn't know anything to he's aware of the businesses to no, he's never talked to anyone that his son has done business with. And then every single time there's a change in the story, it's because there's a ton of evidence. So then there's all these emails and texts and all this. Okay, well, Joe did talk to them. And yes, he did create a secret email account specifically just to talk to these business contacts. But look, all he did, guys, was ask about the weather. That's it. They talked about the weather. Weather is a passion of Joe's. Loves talking about the weather. Loves the weather. Loves it. All of it. Every part of the weather. So, of course, he's going to talk to his son's friends, you know, his business associates about a passion in his life, the weather. Now, remember, the weather explanation came after he's like, well, maybe if he sees his son's business associates out and about, he'll say hi, but that's the extent of it. And then all these emails came out. Okay, well, maybe it just keeps changing over and over again. And then it was, but at least he didn't take any money from them. Well, then it shows all these checks being deposited in an account that Joe Biden's name's on. And then their defense is, well, that's not entirely true. Everybody else's name's on this bank account. You can't prove that just Joe. Well, Joe's name was on it, I thought. And they're going to try to hold on to that weak read of, it's the family bank account. Still, that it doesn't answer the question of why this money was going into the family's personal bank account. But okay, let's just for the sake of finding out more about this, let's just move on and just keep that on the table. And then more emails come out. Oh, he did have another account that was just his that money was deposited into. But I thought it just went into this totally generic, benign family account. So you see, it keeps changing. It keeps changing. And now, over and over again, this information comes up. And now we've got all this stuff. You know what makes me really mad about it? Is whenever Democrats talk about taxation and increasing taxes, isn't it always done through the perspective of they're better Americans than you because they want to give more money to the government? Now, note that you can voluntarily write more than you owe in taxes to the Treasury Department. No one is stopping any of these people who champion for higher taxes in doing that. All of the people who think that they should pay more in tax, they are completely free to take out their checkbook and write a bigger amount than what they owe and send that off to the Department of Treasury. Nothing's stopping them. But it's weird how they never do it, isn't it? They always think that the measure of generosity is determined by if they want the government to force everyone to do it, not if they can do it voluntarily, but if the government forces everybody to do it. I find that weird. And it seems like if you have to be forced to do it, then are you really being generous, right? That's all these people that push these schemes. And then whenever hardworking Americans object to more and more of their taxpayer dollars being sucked up by the never-ending vacuum, the bottomless vacuum that is the federal government, you're called a bad citizen. You hear it. Oh, you don't want to fund this? You don't want to fund? And they always try to pick the most pitiful little things that they can think of. Oh, you don't want to fund one-armed babies, making sure that they're fed and don't die of cold and alone in the street? You don't want to fund that? Guess you just don't have a heart, Republicans. They always trot out some kind of insane, like, you're the bad person. You're made to feel bad, or you're made to feel like you're not doing your duty. That's what grosses me out, by the way, about taxation. Everyone acts like you're doing your duty by paying your taxes. Blank that. You're grabbing your, it's forcible theft. You're paying a protection so that you don't go to jail. That's all it is. You're paying to stay out of jail. That's all paying taxes is. Act like it's some civic. They act like it's a duty on par with serving in the military. Shut up. But so then what of Biden? This guy's been skirting taxes this whole time. I wonder, are these arguments going to come up with his case? Why does he, this 50 crusty year old dude, why does he get to skirt all this stuff? He's not more precious than you are. He's not more special than any of us. He's not smarter, for sure. He definitely doesn't have better judgment. No, he got lucky in that he was born to a master grifter who taught him how to grift too. Lorraine made a good point. And I had forgotten about this because I remember this was something that I think one of the whistleblowers had made mention of, that Hunter was going to be, you know, Bo, the older brother that was lost. I think that death has provided a bit of an insulation for his character, but there's a lot that we really don't know. And it just seems like everybody in this orbit had some sort of major character flaw. One at minimum, one. It's hard for me to think that Bo escaped that. But Hunter, as she noted, and this is what, who's that one guy who first was giving up the emails? He was saying that, yeah, this was going to be Bo's bagman. Because Joe's brother, Jim, served him in the same way. So they were training up Hunter to be the bag man for Bo. So Bo was going to be the new Joe, and Hunter was going to be the new Jim. Interesting. Except Hunter seemed a little bit not right for the role. He was too reckless. He was too irresponsible. And he couldn't do it. And then he couldn't do it. And so I think really, Joe's still in the White House because his dynasty that he was trying to build crumbled. And this is it. This is all they got. And this is the only way they can keep milking that gravy train and getting this cash out as long as he stays relevant in the presidency. Because when these guys leave the White House, what do? They always go on the speaking circuit. They get a lot of money for speeches. They create these foundations, etc. Do you see Biden doing any of this? Do you see Joe Biden doing any of this? My gosh, the guy can't even walk on a flat surface. No. Not at all. So this is the Biden family. Now, I do think that there's a faction of the Democrat Party that's trying to squeeze out Joe by using Hunter against him, because they know what the scheme is. Will it work, though? Now, speaking of edging people out, Claudine Gay, the Harvard president, she issued 2 days after she issued a lame apology, because she said that whether or not calling for the genocide of Jews only constitutes harassment depending on the context, which is so stupid. And she made one lame apology, and now she has another go at an apology. And this comes as the University of Pennsylvania president, Liz McGill, she is facing a lot of heat, justifiably too, by the way. She's losing positions, other board positions. The Wharton board says, you know, you got to go. They had this major donor that literally clawed back their $100 million donation to the university. This hedge fund titan, Ross Stevens, had donated $100 million, had pledged $100 million to UPenn, and then clawed it back. I was like, nah, you're not, you don't get this. After she refused to condemn the calls for genocide. And he wrote an email to the BBC had it. They said in his email, he said, quote, I have clear grounds to rescind Penn's $100 million of Stone Ridge shares due to the conduct of President McGill. And he said that he accused her of having, and the university of having, a permissive approach to students that called for violence, which is true. They did. We're going to talk about this more, because could this be the first reckoning for these universities? I mean, could this finally be the thing that forces these universities to reevaluate not just admissions, but the political atmosphere, the environment on their campuses? It might be. This may be just way too far for a lot of these people that looked the other way for years. And our partners over at Wise Foods, they want to make sure that you are prepared for whatever either bad political decisions or the weather could throw your way. So when emergencies strike, the last thing that you want to be worried about is where you and your family are going to get your next meal. This is where Wise Food Storage comes in. Now, unlike some of these others that are out there, this is all food made with high quality U.S. ingredients, and it's packed with protein. So they have a two bucket, 4 week survival food kit where it's 2,200 calories. Plus you get 64 grams of protein per day. It's a 28 day supply. Super easy to prepare. You just add water, 25 year shelf life as well. And you can save $50 on your 4 week survival food kit, free shipping, all at preparewithdana.com. So order yours today at preparewithdana.com. Save $50 on your 4 week survival food kit plus free shipping. Just visit preparewithdana.com.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
First of all, if there is anti-Semitism in Congress, it is coming from the Republican Party, not the Democratic Party, number one.
Number one. Number one. Number two. Number five, number nine, number one. I love how people say things like itemized lists like that, that somehow it lends it more credibility. You all right over there, Kane? Mm-hmm. I'm amazed at this, the way that they're trying to redefine it, because this has been hurting them. This is hurting Democrats. Not only is it hurting Democrats because there's a lot of infighting in the party, but it's hurting Democrats in that there are actually some within the Democrat Party, believe it or not, that think that what they've been seeing with all of this is heinous. And they want to see a stop to it. It's pretty interesting. But wasn't that Jamal Bowman? Hold up. Yes. The guy who keeps saying that he didn't pull the thing, the fire alarm.
Yeah, even though we have video.
I mean, you're literally on video. Audio sound by two. Dude, you're on video doing it. Listen to this.
I don't want to belabor this point, but as you can see, my Republican colleague is trying to get into my head and articulate my state of mind, despite my multiple consistent comments to the contrary, despite me not being charged for disrupting a congressional proceeding. And remember, this is a vote to keep the government open. So in a rush to get there, yes, I ran past many Capitol Police officers,
but I was trying to get there. You unequivocally deny that this was an attempt to delay that vote.
Absolutely not.
I just want to make a point.
Yeah, no one believes you. Like, literally nobody believes you. I just ran past. I mean, people know how doors work. If he doesn't, that's unfortunate. And I question whether or not he belongs in Congress. Does he know how to propose or vote on a bill? if he doesn't know how to work a door. I mean, it's on camera. Why are they denying this still? We all see it. Stop, dude. Stop. I mean, I know it's like the giving season and all of that, but I'm done giving a damn about your excuses. I'm just all out of the dams. All out of that. All out. Good grief. So coming up in our second hour, the latest with the university fight. And also, have you seen, again, I included this if you get the newsletter. This was in the chapter and verse newsletter that I sent out, send you every morning through Substack. And it included a photo of IDF soldiers that had ferreted out these Hamas members. The Hamas started pouring out of these terror tunnels as the IDF was going through Gaza. And remember, there's like 300 miles of tunnels underneath the strip. And they started coming out and surrendering. And after they would surrender, the IDF stripped them. They put them on their knees. They tied their hands behind their backs. And they lined them all up. And people are outraged. The same usual suspects. And they're saying that the IDF acted cruelly and inhumanely and barbarically. I mean, because they, wouldn't you want to check? Like, if you're a soldier and you're going through clearing an urban battlefield, wouldn't you want to check that the people that are notorious for being suicide bombers didn't have any explosives under their clothing, anything like that, that they could detonate once they reached a bunch of IDF? Don't you think so? I mean, that just seems kind of obvious to me. But why are the people, they're people angrier over this than they were of video of women being kidnapped and pulled by the hair and everything else? Good grief. We're going to talk about this coming up. Stick with us. More of the Dana Show back in moments. Looking for a proactive solution in a battle against COVID-19? Well, ivermectin is now available at All Family Pharmacy, based in Boca Raton, Florida. With a growing interest in its potential benefits, ivermectin has emerged at the forefront for its antiviral properties. Supported by robust research and real-world experiences, it has gained new attention as a possible ally in managing the impact of the virus. For reliable information and access to quality products like ivermectin, visit allfamilypharma.com/Dana and save 10% with promo code Dana10. Your health matters, so stay informed. Visit allfamilypharma.com/Dana. Navigate these challenging times with informed choices and proactive steps. All Family Pharmacy is U.S.-based and safe. Embrace the possibilities with ivermectin. Save 10% with code Dana10 when you place your order now at allfamilypharma.com/Dana. That's allfamilypharma.com/Dana, code Dana10. That's Dana and the number 10.
Law protects that kind of language. And in my opinion, college is the perfect place to have these sorts of uncomfortable conversations. Even the
Jewish students don't feel comfortable on college campuses.
Even the ACLU said that the Supreme Court cannot prevent speech that is likely to provide a hostile response.
Okay, so this isn't a free speech issue. It's not. Sunday Hostin's, this is a moronic take that she has on The View. Welcome back to the program, top of this second hour. Dana Lash with you. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the program. 347, the channel on DirecTV, YouTube, Facebook, all that good stuff. Here's why it's not. And I say this is a free speech purist. I think people are misunderstanding the role that government plays when they talk about First Amendment protections for speech. Academic institutions are not governments. This University of Pennsylvania is not the United States government. Harvard is not the United States government. None of these places are the U.S. government. Now, when we talk about protected speech, we're talking about speech that you're free still to make, but it's speech that you may not be excluded from when it relates to any sort of liability incurred. If it's defamation, if it's libel, if it's slander, if it's, you know, threatening, you know, fighting words, so to speak. I mean, there is legal precedent for this. Now, this is less about free speech and more about free association. Because these students on these college campuses that are engaging in this homicidal worship, it's not a free speech issue because the university doesn't have to tolerate it. The university doesn't have, well, we can't. That's the coward's way out. And it's easy. It's a specious argument. They can say, well, we don't want to infringe upon the free speech right. No, you're not infringing on the free speech right because you're not the U.S. government. That's why I'm very particular when people use the phrase censorship. And it's why it got muddied in the discussion of censorship as it pertains to government and big tech. If it's big tech choosing to censor you by itself because they're jackwagons and they don't like your political ideology, that's one thing. But if it's big tech who, as we have seen from receipts, that were colluding with the federal government to act secretly, unbeknownst to all of us, as agents of state to suppress free speech, now that is censorship. Because the big tech then at that point is acting as the middleman. They are the agent for the state. It is the state enacting its will through this third party that is still censorship. The government isn't telling these universities that these student groups can't speak. They're not telling them to let them speak. This is the personal politics of the people running these universities in play. They don't have to tolerate this. That's like having someone in your home at a Christmas party saying ridiculous stuff. You don't owe that person ground in your private property to be able to state whatever they want to. A lot of these institutions, these are in the private property. That's why they can be gun-free zones and all this other goofy stuff. So no, it's like having someone at your home, like I said, that example, saying crazy stuff. They're not owed an audience on your property. They're not owed an audience with the guests in your home. You can kick them out, let them go on their way. So can these universities. Because they have, that's their right to do so. But they hide behind this argument of, well, we don't want to limit anyone's free speech. They hide behind that and they want to conflate that with being a censorship issue so you don't question it lest you look like someone who's advocating for censorship. They're actually daring you to contradict yourself, even though it's not technically a contradiction. They're playing on the conflation and the ignorance of this conflation, and they're daring people to try to correct them so they can make the people trying to correct them look bad for even bringing it up. It's a whole psyop. That's what they're doing. But it's not a free speech issue because no one's owed an audience to be able to say this maniacal genocidal garbage. No one's owed, you're not owed that as a college student on campus. And these universities would do a hell of a lot better to remind students of this. Like, yeah, you have free speech, but we're not the government. This isn't Congress. This isn't Capitol Hill. This is a university campus. And we reserve the right of association. We reserve the right to determine whether or not we want to be associated with this sort of behavior. We reserve the right to determine whether or not we want this behavior or these chants on our campus, if we want our campus even wholly associated with it. Now, I will say this, you know, it has been made, I think, a little bit more difficult for university leadership, not all, but some, to even say that much because DEI is so rampant. It's wrapped up in almost every single facet of everything that regulates everything, whether it's finance or whether it's academia. I mean, they have chief diversity officers and DEI this and all of that. It's all part of critical race theory from Marxism, and this is part and parcel of it. So they've seeded this ground where even the upper echelon of university administration, even if they felt that way, they really can't say anything because then they are betraying the DEI values that have been. Invested in this university. It takes people with money to tell them to go blank themselves to do anything about it. And that's why we got this one guy who's taking back his $100 million donation. UPenn. He's taking it back. He says he's appalled. And he should, I mean, should be. But for Huston to say this stuff, for her argument here, it's goofy. It's dumb. She's defending the harassment of this. And she's like, does she understand the difference between harassment and rigorous debate? Like intellectually honest, good intentioned, rigorous debate. because that's a huge problem with society. People like Sonny Hostin don't understand the difference between the two. Chanting from the river to the sea, and I dare say that Sonny Hostin couldn't name the river nor could name the sea, chanting things like that, that is, you're chanting genocide. It is harassment. And that's not rigorous debate. You're just chanting something stupid. That's not debate at all. I was actually, Doug Emhoff, I believe he's Jewish, he said, this is the, what do they call him, Cain? Second man, second, he's vice president's husband.
Yeah, so second man, yeah.
Wouldn't he, I'm so confused, wouldn't he technically be the first man? Or is that too similar to president?
Yeah, there is would no, technically be the first man.
Because there's a first lady, so there's no first dude.
But the label is first for the spouse of the...
Okay.
Of the leader there. So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. I just wanted to make sure. So the second dude comes out and says this, audio soundbite 14.
We've seen the presidents of some of our most elite universities literally unable to denounce calling for the genocide of Jews as anti-Semitic. That lack of moral clarity is simply unacceptable. We've seen a restaurant owner who's a friend of mine accused of genocide simply because he's Jewish. We've all seen college students afraid to go to class. We've seen people afraid to go to markets, afraid to go to synagogues, literally being attacked on our streets.
Mm-hmm. Good on him for being honest about this. Good on him. You know, John Fetterman even said something else, too. He was talking about no ceasefire and all of that. What is happening? I know. Even John Fetterman. Again. I don't know if y'all saw this. I'm still trying to wrap my mind around it. I was like, well, what in the world? That's... He's even said this. He cited the nearly 200... he was actually talking about border. But he said very recently he was talking about no ceasefire. And then... Yesterday, he cited the nearly 270,000 border encounters that U.S. Customs and Border Protections reported in September. He said, quote, you essentially have Pittsburgh showing up there at the border. Dude. It did. Did he like have a stroke and become a conservative? Mm-hmm. I forgive the hoodie now. He can wear hoodies all day long as he keeps being sensible with his remarks. I'll send him a hoodie. Wear the hoodie. I don't care. And they can't do anything about it. They can't say anything to him because they have built him up so much and they protected him so much after he got that seat. And now what are they going to do? They can't go after the guy because that's a kind of a somewhat competitive seat. They can't go after him. What are they going to do? They can't go after him now. They've really screwed themselves with this. I don't think that he did that intentionally either. I think it just happened to fall that way. Yeah, I mean, Fetterman's healing. I kind of like this better. And I don't see his wife nearly as much. I kind of like that too, right? Like, keep her out of it.
We all do.
It seems like the more he's in... No, I'm not going to say that. I was going to say that's like the more he's in D.C. and not, you know, under her thumb. It seems like, I don't know, I'm just saying. I can't believe I'm saying that. Wow. Yeah, I forgive the hoodie. I forgive him the hoodie. Mm-mm-mm. Now, one of the other things we were discussing is this situation with the fighters with Hamas. I'm going to pull this up. I saw this going around on social media, and it's a real post that somebody put up on their social media account. This guy named Hani Al-Madun. And he said his brother Mahmoud can be seen in this IDF released video. He's a shopkeeper and a dad. And he says, you know, he suffers from seizures and it's blistering cold outside. And these Israeli criminals took them and et cetera, et cetera. He's upset, but he doesn't say exactly why the IDF has his brother in custody or how they got him in custody. And the answer to that question is none too surprising. As the IDF was rolling through Gaza, where they had told for days people need to evacuate, so as the only people remaining were actually Hamas fighters, then Hamas terrorists began spilling out like cockroaches out of the holes in the ground that they had created, this massive labyrinth beneath Gaza, so that they could carry out their terrorist activities undetected. And his brother was one of the terrorists that came out of the holes with the other Hamas terrorists. And so the IDF captured, rounded up all these surrendering terrorists. They had to check and make sure that they didn't have explosives on them, because that's kind of par for the course for Hamas. So they stripped them, they sat them down, they tied their hands, and they lined them up as these guys were coming out to surrender. And so the people, there are people mad that they were stripped because they're known to have explosives on their person. And that's standard operating procedure to do this. And people are mad and they say that it's inhumane, because I definitely would not have waited to round them up and sit them down. I would have two in the chest, one in the head as they came out of the hole. There would not be any stripping. There would not be any, we're going to order them, have them all in an ordered fashion there to surrender. I would have executed every single one of them coming out of the ground like the rodents they are. That's what I would have done. That's how you change hearts and minds. If you can't change them, well, then you obliterate them. It sounds tough, but this is the reality of war. This is the reality of war. This is what they chose. Israel and the people who are fighting against this did not have the choice in this. Hamas made it for them. Don't whine about it now. Our friends at Black Rifle Coffee, this is the coffee that I drink every day because it's the best coffee that you can get. It's bougie coffee without the bougie price. And by bougie, I mean that they're nerds about how they roast their beans. This is like the only coffee company of its type where they actually bring the beans to the United States and roast them all throughout the week at their two locations. Everybody else out there white labels it. What does that mean? It means that they have other people in foreign countries roast the beans and then they bring it into the U.S. and white label it and try to act like it's a big thing to sell. But that's not what Black Rifle Coffee Company does. These guys are legit coffee nerds. This is a veteran-owned company. They employ veterans. They employ active duty and all their families. And they are super focused on making the best coffee in the nation. And it truly is. They're also continuing to raise money for the Boot Campaign, one of the most renowned veteran-focused nonprofits in the country. They have all these programs that treat the invisible wounds of war. A lot of stuff that our vets deal with today, that's what the Boot Campaign treats. They're raising money for it through their ready-to-drink coffee over at Black Rifle Coffee. So you get a 12-pack of that through the coffee club, and that money goes right to the Boot Campaign. And the coffee club, by the way, this is a great Christmas gift. If you're looking for something for the person who has everything, the coffee club is where it's at, because you can get, you know, a year subscription. You can choose the roasts and you can change them too online, however you want to do it in your account. You can choose your roast, frequency of shipment. That coffee is sent to your house. You never run out of coffee. The best coffee, free shipping, and it's affordable. So make sure you visit Black Rifle Coffee, blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. Fuel your caffeine fix and help make a difference in the lives of vets and their families. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
U.S. household wealth has fallen in the third quarter to roughly $151 trillion, pulled down by a huge drop in the value of stocks, which more than offset a $500 trillion rise in the value of property prices, according to the Federal Reserve just yesterday. They said household net worth fell about 1% in the period from July through September, from $152.3 trillion at the end of the second quarter. They said that the quarterly snapshot of the balance sheets of households and businesses, according to the Fed. So, but you know what? It's okay. Don't worry about it, right? We're told that everything is fine. That's what KJP has said. I got even more audio from her saying that. Sacramento police say that bait packages are catching porch pirates this holiday season. Each package has a device inside that allows officers to track the thief. Remember the one, it was a couple of years ago, where somebody put like a non-lethal explosive device in a package and the porch pirates were really upset about that? So it's actually kind of smart. But they say that they've been tracing and following these people ultimately catching them. They said that they use recycled Amazon boxes. They fill them with legit items like power inverters. And then they have a tracker inside that alerts dispatchers the moment the package is moved or taken. And that's kind of interesting. Very interesting indeed. Also, we talked about yesterday drug shortages hitting record highs. The Biden administration's asserting authority to seize certain drug patents targeting very costly medications. He wants a tool to use what he says is an effort to lower drug prices. What did we tell you? After the passage of Obamacare, with the increase of R&D and the excise taxes that come with it, the production of very in-demand medications is going to increase. We told everybody this. Now it's happening, and everyone acts like, oh, it's just the drug companies that are... We broke this down when they were passing the healthcare bill back in 2010. We warned everybody that this was going to happen, that this was going to be a direct result because of that, because of all the excise taxation, etc. So now... Now they're just using this as an excuse to give themselves more government authority. We have a lot more on the way. Stick with us. More The Dana Show back after this as we move our partners over at Kel-Tec, the P15. I have this. This is one of the best 9mm out there. If you don't have Kel-Tec's P15, this is something that you definitely should be on your Christmas wish list because it's just an awesome, dependable gun. First off, it's the lightest, slimmest, double-stack concealed carry 9mm on the market. So unloaded, it's only 14 ounces. Holds 15 plus 1 standard capacity round. Standard capacity, 15 plus 1. And you have a Tritamen fiber optic front sight, fully adjustable fiber optic rear sights, striker fire reliability, super sweet trigger. There's two versions. You got the polymer version, which has that gator grip texture, makes for super easy, accurate handling. And then what I like to think is the fancy version. It's a metal version, and it has those beautiful, beautiful classic wood grips. It just looks like an old James Bond gun, but, you know, like for today, it's like a modernized 60s Sean Connery style Bond gun. It's super cool looking, but love both of them. And again, the P15, this is excellent for concealed carry. It's lightweight, it's accurate, lightest, thinnest. It's super easy to conceal, especially for ladies. We wear things a little differently than dudes do. This is one you need in your everyday carry rotation. So check it out at KeltecWeapons.com. Make the P15 your carry, your concealed carry go-to. KeltecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recognizing your resentments and trying to let them go. That's the way that I do it. The way that I do it is, number one, I recognize that none of this is necessarily about me. They are trying to, illegitimate way, but rational way, they're trying to destroy a presidency. And so it's not about me. In their most base way, what they're trying to do is they're trying to kill me, knowing that it will be a pain greater than my father could be able to handle.
What in the world? What a self-aggrandizing cokehead. I mean, he's a male whore. Yeah. He's ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas. Hunter Biden there saying that they're trying to, I guess he's talking about Republicans, this ongoing investigation, saying that they're trying to kill me, knowing that it's going to be a pain greater than my father would be able to handle. No, you're doing that yourself, dude. No one forced you to do the blow. No one forced you to hire, you know, $5 million worth of hookers. Nobody forced you to do any of this. You did it yourself because you thought you were untouchable. And then when you get hit for it, then you're like, well, this isn't about me. What a way to dodge accountability. It actually is literally about you. It's literally about you. And by the way, it's not just Republicans. I mean, honestly, this came to light because of Democrats. Democrats that are trying to push out Joe. So it's really not just about Republicans either. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program as well. Channel 347 DirecTV. You can also watch it at YouTube and Facebook. No, this is exactly, do they really think that they're like the Kennedys? When you hear him talk about that, when you hear him say this stuff, that's what it seems like, that he has it in his head, he and his family, that they are like these, they're some kind of aristocracy, American aristocracy. And it's just not the case. He's in the situation because of willful actions that he performed. That's all there is to it. And he was reckless and sloppy. And that's why he got caught. No one set out to get him. You're not that precious, dude. It's not about, well, it's because of who my dad is. It's you acted like a fool and you expect every other American to follow laws that you yourself reject and make a mockery of. Audio soundbite 19. He still insists that this is a Russian disinformation thing. This is just wild. Is he high? Like, listen, I can't make heads or tails of it, whether he is or not. Listen.
Which, by the way, this whole idea that this may not in every aspect be a Russian disinformation campaign, but it has literally every earmark of what the Russians did.
Yeah.
There's, what's it called? It's called eliminationist rhetoric. Eliminationist rhetoric was something that the Nazis came up with as a tool to undermine their political rivals. And then Putin has fine-tuned it.
So everyone who is criticizing him for spending $5 million on hookers and blow is a Nazi. Yeah. And it's all Russian disinformation campaign stuff. Anything else he wants to add there? Is there room for like some Italian fascism? Like what else can he add there? Yeah. Is there more room on that board? Let's just add it. So everyone criticizing him is a Nazi. Wow. Godwin's law on coke. I just wild. He really believes that he should be beyond the realm of accountability. Notice he's never said, yeah, this is me. I mean, it's all him. We know it's him. They've admitted as such in court documents. Why, just say, you know what? I messed up. I made some bad decisions. He can't even be prevailed upon to say that. Because that would denote humility. It would denote accountability. Two things that are entirely foreign to him. You know, he probably has to. The only way he can get women is to pay for them, apparently. I mean, when you hear him talk, it kind of makes sense, right? That whole family is just messed up. What a cracked out family. Does it terrify you to know that the guy who could make that kind of the call, nuclear war, that his kid, his 50-something year old infant baby, who's high as a kite, is running around the White House and has access to all this stuff, like these top secret documents in his garage? That's kind of a terrifying prospect when you think of it. I mean, you either have that or you have. I mean, at least Trump's documents were in the bathroom of Mar-a-Lago. I think he only used that. So that was some, you know, bathroom reading compared to this. I mean, if you want to have that conversation, this is crazy. Wow. Just the disassociation here. Well, see, they're raised to think nothing's ever your fault. Every offense that you commit, the consequence of that isn't a result of your incorrect choices. It is a direct result of the fight against this family. They act like they're so... Joe Biden being president was a fluke. It was a fluke. I think he did it because he was trying to protect his family from all of their grifting and money laundering and everything else. That's what it seems like. Good heavens. That's an actual hot take from him. But it makes... You know, you can kind of get some insight into how wild it is. All right, a couple of other things. Biden wants to give, golly, 500,000 Americans money to buy homes. They said on Thursday, this was yesterday after radio, that they're looking to help hundreds of thousands of households realize their dream of home ownership. They said they want to reduce housing costs. Now, their response or their remedy to reducing housing costs isn't for the government to spend less. It's not for sound economic policy. It's not for smart fiscal moves. They just want to give away everybody else's money. It's called the Neighborhood Homes Investment Act. And they said that they want to promote homeownership and they just want to give people money for homes. That's it. They want to give people money for homes. And they act like that's somehow going to generate revenue, which I don't understand how that is. I mean, the reason the housing market is in this mess right now is because you got the Fed that's dealing with inflation, and it's a bit of a mess. You have the rising, they said it was the most rapid clip of rising rates since the 80s, and that's why borrowing costs are so high right now. You have two decade highs, and the supply of homes that people can even buy, there's not a lot out there. I mean, the inventory is kind of low. They think that that just giving money to people to buy homes, that's going to solve it. That's going to solve the whole issue. That's not going to do anything. You okay, Kane? You all right over there?
I'm all right.
You feeling okay today? We had our Christmas dinner yesterday, our radio Christmas dinner. You ate a lot of red meat, didn't you? You okay?
Yeah, I did. Had some scotch, some red meat, and some wine.
And some ice cream.
Crazy ice cream drink.
Yeah, you had some ice cream too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So add that to the stupidity that we're looking at right now.
Yeah, because you look like a dad that like pulled the car over and just already took his kids and beat them out on the road. That's what you look like over there right
now. The Fed has already committed to lowering rates in 2024. So we're seeing somewhat of a tiny rebound in the real estate market, at least in the near future. What he's doing is same thing with the borrowing, the student loan stuff. It's not his money to do this.
This is like trying to explain WACBAT to somebody.
Right.
He thinks, well, we'll lower the cost of borrowing even more by just giving people money to buy a house. They'll lower. Look at how much we lowered the cost of buying a house.
With no self-realization that by doing all of these things through the government, mm-hmm. you're increasing mm-hmm. inflation, which then the feds have to increase rates.
This is the government's money, King.
Right. Then they have to increase rates to battle the inflation, which is what's causing the rise of mortgage rates. No, it's dumb.
Yeah, but
this is dumb.
Just giving them the money. It's thick from the government.
No, don't do that.
Man, who's in charge of their economic policy over there? I would love to know that. This is wild. So yeah, in addition to the forgiving, air quotes, of the student loan debt. Oh, but wait, there's more. Would you like to hear more?
Oh God.
So do you remember how Gavin Newsom, one of his biggest boondoggles, is the high speed rail, the high speed electric rail that's going to take people from L.A. to San Francisco. So now there's a new rail called Brightline West that's going to take people from L.A. to Vegas in just 2 hours. You know you can drive that, right?
In two hours.
You literally can drive from Vegas to L.A. in 2 hours. It's something you literally can do. It's actually, I think it's a pretty drive. They said that they just gave this project $3 billion. The Biden administration, so that you can now take a high-speed electric train from LA to Vegas in the exact same amount of time that you can drive. So great. They said that the cash infusion comes after officials at Brightline said they needed federal funding to help bring the project to life because nobody else was interested in it. They listen to the way this is billed. Oh, man. It's the Brightline West. The planned route will traverse the notorious Nevada desert in just 2 hours and only cost $12 billion to create. You want to know what's funny? Your car can traverse the notorious Nevada desert also in just 2 hours, and it doesn't cost $12 billion. It's pretty amazing. Doesn't even cost $12 billion to do that. This is so stupid. And they said that the planned route is the brainchild. I love that's the phrase that they try to use to make stupid stuff sound smart. Of Wes Edens. So he owns a football team. He owns the Bucks and then Aston Villa FC. And he founded Brightline. And this is so stupid. Why do you need to do that? And it's interesting, too, where all it stops at, because remember the high-speed rail that they were trying to get in L.A. to San Francisco? It got so ridiculous. It ended up costing something like $1,100 billion. And it was stopping off everywhere, that even in rural places where there was nobody getting on a train there, because everybody wanted a piece of the pie. You get, like, subsidies. Everybody wanted a piece of the pie. So they said that so it goes from Vegas. It's supposed to hit Victor Valley, Hesperia, and then Inza, and then Rancho Cucamonga, and then they said that's the planned route, and then they want to link it up with the California high speed rail, and they also have plans to maybe link it up with Amtrak, and I mean there's so many. You see, now it's going to get crazy, and then they think that they could probably have it meet somewhere near Palmdale, and then that could go up to the Bay Area. I mean, this is going to be so bad. It's not going to cost this much. It's going to cost 50,000 times more than this. But they just got $3 billion in taxpayer dollars. Why are they so obsessed with trains? Why? I don't know. This is a great question. I really don't know. In the meantime, while they're spending this money on trains, inflation is so bad. Now they say the American dream. Guess how much it costs now to get married, buy a home, and raise kids, cover health care, and retire. And then you got to, you know, consider your $8,000 in today's dollars, $8,000 funeral. $3.4 million.
What? I don't have that.
Well, I guess you're not going to get buried, man.
Oh.
I know, I'm going to cut something. Yeah, that's from Investopedia. They said raising two kids costs about an average of $576,000, actually almost $577,000 on average. Thanks, government. We got a lot more on the way. We also have Florida Man coming up.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right, so this Florida mom takes a Grinch-like turn, lies about children's Christmas gift theft to get donated toys, according to the sheriff's department. That's like one of the worst things ever. You're lying about that? They said that a video posted on the sheriff's office Facebook page. The mom is Shanna Hudson. And what ended up happening is she lied about a burglary to get people into getting Christmas gifts for her kids. And it's Lee County Sheriff's Office. They said that the 39-year-old mother faces a false report to law enforcement charge after she told police that a burglar stole gifts for her kids and they had nothing to open on Christmas. So the sheriff's office said she had actually just stashed the gifts elsewhere. And the detectives investigating felt sorry for her kids and they organized donations. But then somebody tipped off Crime Stoppers and said that actually, no, that's not what happened. She just hid the stuff. So they found the items that she hidden, that she had reported stolen. She hid them at a family member's house. And they thought this was horrible. I mean, this is why people think twice if they see like fundraisers and stuff like that, because people like this ruin, you know, the believability of it. It's horrible. And it hurts people who are actually in need. So they said that somebody was dressed as the Grinch taunting her. Literally somebody dressed up as the Grinch as they led her to the police van after her arrest. They found it. They found all these presents wrapped up, stashed behind a washer and dryer, and televisions that she had purchased hidden in a bed. That's so lame. That's so bad. Like, why are people like this? Just I don't know. Let's see. This story, a Florida man's loud music sparked a weekend brawl. The Sumter County, they said 36-year-old Eduardo Ruiz, he decided to have a very loud playlist. And so it all went down, according to, this is Fox 35, the victim was just trying to relax, and this Eduardo Sanchez Ruiz guy was playing his music super, super, super loud. Anyway, long story short, fists were thrown. They said they described it as classic domestic drama stuff. And by the way, the story's written like garbage. By the way, it's a horrific written story. Like, it's so bad. Like, people at Fox, like ESPN, don't. Just take Fox 35 story and just repost it. Don't have your people try to be clever. They're not good enough writers to do that. They really aren't. A Florida man was, this is horrible. How are you doing this around, like, it's another ESPN story, so we never know how this is going to turn out. Florida man busted for X-rated outdoor performance in Manatee County. I don't like it either. I can't say the guy's name because I literally can't say it. There's so many consonants in his name. It's ridiculous. I can't say his name. Can you say his name?
No.
You want to try?
No.
You sure? His middle name's Anthony.
Yeah, that's easy. That's the easy part.
That one's easy.
I'll just call him Tony.
Yeah, call him Tony. So they said that this guy, 38 years old, he was on a nature trail in Manatee County. And he decided to create a peep show for people who were walking the trail. And as he was exposing himself, if people weren't looking at him, he would holler at them to make sure that they did.
Oh, God.
Yeah. He was taken into custody, in fact. He faces charges of indecent exposure. And apparently this is his routine. So his charges, he's got some more serious charges as well, because this isn't the first, second, or third time he's done this. On a nature trail in Florida, right? Stay with us.
All those that, you know, from college students to those in the workplace, I'm getting the calls of people being pushed to silence, being bullied, some people weaponizing anti-Semitism in a way to silence voices. All of that needs to stop. You know, Americans have a right to speak up. Americans have a right to the institutions they work at or the people that represent them to say, look, this is my opinion. I believe you should support X, Y, and Z. And again, we have to be able to make sure that as we look at all these forms of hate, that it is not being weaponized in a way to silence voices like myself and our, you know, many of the voices that are here.
Every time she talks, it's like you get shaken baby syndrome. That's Rashida Tlaib, who is getting ratioed to just all get out right now on social media. Both Kane and Steve caught this. She tweeted, "Happy Hanukkah to our Jewish neighbors and 12th District strong and beyond." Welcome back to the program. Top of this third hour, Dana Lash with you. You can listen coast to coast. You can check out the simulcast as well. Man, that's a rough ratio that she has there. Oh boy. She's saying that people are weaponizing the literal words that she says. It's crazy. Like, how dare you say, how dare you point out the words that I said with my mouth? It's like, they're mad at her. She says that they're weaponizing anti-Semitism to silence voices like mine. Wait, you don't have to weaponize anti-Semitism, you dummy. It's kind of already weaponized. But wait, you know what I also remember? It's true. I mean, like, you're weaponizing anti-Semitism. It's already weaponized, you literal.
That's what it is.
No. She is a walking mental abortion. I have no other way to put it. She's, how dare you point out, I said this words with my mouth. How dare you? And now she's tweeting everybody, "Happy Hanukkah to our Jewish neighbors." Like, we know, we heard what you said. We know what you said. Stop it. And then you got Corey Bush. Now, before we play the soundbite, this is the ideology that has said for so long, words are violence, have they not? Yeah. Words are violence. I was told that every time I spoke out about Second Amendment issues, that I was literally calling people to violence, like over and over again. I was told this by members of the left, that if you stand up for lawful gun ownership, that this is, it's a call to violence. So this is Corey Bush, because now that's changed. Now they don't think that anymore about words. Listen to this, audio soundbite 11.
As much as it is unacceptable and it is
intolerable.
We also can't conflate the criticism of Israel, the Israeli government, with anti-Semitism. And we also have to stop with the words. It's this word, you said that word, you said this word, it hurt me. Well, how much hurt do people feel when the bombs hit them? Like, that's what I'm worried about. Yeah. This word hurt me. You use this word. Well, a word was used, but you are safe. A word was used, and you stand here in this country, and you're able to walk in and out of your home. You're able to walk to the grocery store. You're able to tuck your kid in at night. You're not worried about if today is the day the bomb hits you.
Oh, shut up. My gosh. She gets herself riled up. She's like, words can't hurt anyone. Hold up. No, y'all can't say that. These are your rules. These are dem rules. Dems de rules. Y'all adopted these. This is what we're going by. Words can kill. I mean, that's what we were told. Words can literally murder you. That's what we were told. So you don't get to say this now. Not after years of saying, oh, words are... How the audacity of the whole words hurt me crowd now getting mad when they're the offenders saying defending this stuff. This is crazy. Oh yes, I mean, words can't actually hurt anyone. You're defending people calling for literal genocide. I mean, I just think that that's a defense that you might want to use for something like, you know, you look fat today, or I hate your hairstyle, or I don't like your lipstick color today, or that was a stupid policy, or that proposal's dumb. Things like that. Not for genocide, okay? Not for calling to obliterate an entire people. Now, these are the rules that y'all made. We're not going to do this. Not doing it. Now, a couple of other things to hit as well. We got that Pentagon bill. Have y'all seen this, the NDAA? Did you see the big, giant stacks of it that people were carrying around to read? So the NDAA, and as Chip Roy noted, they said it's watered down, but it's not really. They jammed it through. He says there's no real conference. By the way, abortion funding and transgender funding is still in it. Now, what do I mean by abortion funding? They mean it's taxpayer-funded abortion on demand for use as birth control, and the funding of medically unnecessary surgical mutilations. So if somebody wants to invert their male copulatory organ and make a frankangina, they can. Just explaining to you the process. That's exactly what this thing does. That is all in the NDAA. And they had said that they were going to eliminate these provisions, but apparently it doesn't. It also still includes promotion of critical race theory, DEI initiatives in the military. And it scrapped any kind of a provision that would sanction fentanyl, people trafficking fentanyl. And there was also scrapped the provision to protect U.S. agricultural land from China. So that was all taken out of it, too. That's what's in here, the NDAA. But if you don't pass it, then you must hate the troops or something. That's how they're going to present this. So there you go. It's the House Senate conference version. They also have a short-term extension of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. There you go. The FISA Act's still in there. So it sounds like we didn't get a damn thing out of this. Nope. We didn't get nothing. Nothing. Oh, and it barely creates a very limited role for an IG on accountability for Ukraine aid. That's it. That's it. That's all you get. So that's the compromise bill. They got rid of the taxpayer-funded abortion on demand as birth control. The protections against that. So it doesn't end it. The GOP bill wanted to. The compromise, the NDAA compromise, does not. They also still fund the gender transition surgeries. They still fund climate change. They're still giving money to Ukraine. They took out the provision that banned drag shows on Department of Defense installations. They did all the, they took out a provision that prohibited race-based admissions. And they still pay taxpayer dollars, chief diversity officers. Oh, and then it extends FISA, spying power. So that's in the NDAA. That's what they have in there now. They weren't able to get all of it out. Now, keep in mind, we've lost a lot. We're losing our majority even more in the House. So who knows what's going to happen? Who knows what's going to happen now? Nobody knows. But that's all that is in this bill. That's all that's in it. So this is not a good bill. It's garbage. And it includes all of the stuff that we hate. There were no wins in this. Not a single win in this bill. I don't know if you saw this story, too. I'm going to pull this up. There's a couple of things to touch on. For whatever reason, so after the so at the debate, I made mention of, and I've said this before on social media plenty of times, that I felt like Ron DeSantis has a little bit of a Calvin Coolidge aesthetic. I mean, there's a reason why they called Calvin Coolidge Silent Cal. And I started seeing all these people like make fun of like Coolidge. Especially people that would say that they are for limited government or America first. And I'm like, why in the world would you make fun of Calvin Coolidge, who was probably the most America first president that ever existed? I mean, seriously, beyond Washington. And there's some people who think history began the day that they were born. And I guess because DeSantis had liked Coolidge, that some people... Do people know Calvin Coolidge's record? Calvin Coolidge, there are a couple of really good biographies out there about him. But Calvin Coolidge, the reason you had the Roaring Twenties was because of Calvin Coolidge's policies. Calvin Coolidge's policies led to an era of absolutely unprecedented, out-of-control growth and prosperity. And that's why you had the Roaring Twenties. He was a very dry, and he was very serious, and he hated society, so to speak, and that was his whole aesthetic. He wasn't a showman. He wasn't an impresario. He's not going to go out there like a circus performer. He was just very serious, and he got the job done. I mean, he had implemented serious, very strict immigration requirements, which is what we should be, copying today for the United States, but we're not. And he didn't like small talk. He didn't like excessiveness. He was a fabulous president. Fabulous president. And the United States, I mean, goodness, just was the prosperity that we enjoyed because of the policies that his administration implemented. I mean, paying off the debt, in addition to immigration overhaul, but there were a lot of domestic policies as well that kind of pulled back government and allowed for that small business expansion. I mean, he also went after corruption. He went after all the stuff that was in the Harding administration, all of the corruption in the Harding administration. And it was because, really, of Calvin Coolidge that a lot of people had their trust restored in the institutions to which they expected to perform on behalf of them, the taxpayer. And it went a long way for them. He had an unassailable reputation. So all these people that were kind of making, like, I saw Coolidge's name trending after that, and people were kind of making fun of that answer. And I'm like, well, educated folks would run to that example. I think Coolidge, people were saying, oh, it was, I don't know why people always default to Reagan. And look, I like Reagan. I've been to Rancho Del Cielo. I love the Reagan Ranch. I love the Young America Foundation. They do amazing work. Nobody's perfect. Reagan definitely had his own issues on immigration and gun control, for sure. But Calvin Coolidge was the closest that you got to a Washington in any sort of recent era. And it just shocked me, the number of people, like when everyone was given their answer on the debate stage, it was so predictable. Somebody chose Jefferson, who created the modern day Democrat Party. Well, Jackson really did, but Jefferson was the closest thing to it. He's the more liberal of the founders. Go back and read about the Jacobin and all of the French Revolution and all of those associations. Very interesting. But the everyone was picking these very predictable, you know, had very predictable answers. And then DeSantis was like, Coolidge. And people didn't know what to make of it. Well, if you knew Coolidge's record, you'd be picking him too. And you'd be kicking yourself for not doing it first.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
He had a shiny nose because he was drunk. He had to be in order to deal with all of the status BS that's just that's just infected the world. I need my coffee. A woman entered an A 57-year-old woman entered an MRI machine she was armed and shot herself in the butt. Okay. That's not what you can't be doing that kind of stuff, okay? How do you still, I don't know, they had to send an adverse event report to the FDA because she literally shot herself in her own butt. I hate everything. I want to personally visit her home and just take her gun. I'm like, stop it. As she was about to enter the machine, the gun was attracted by the powerful magnet and it fired off a single round right up in her butt. And there you go. They said her entry and exit wounds, thankfully, were small and superficial. Let's see. The IRS is blatantly keeping money that isn't theirs. They've rejected more than 20,000 refund claims for pandemic-related tax credit because they're absolute communists. Selfie-taking tourist ends up soaked in the Venice Canal because she fell in. She literally fell into the canal. They said it was a murky, cold canal. They refused the gondolier's request to sit down and stop being stupid. And they deserved it. You deserve to fall into the canal. And I hope you're cold because you take annoying selfies and they suck. Stay with us.
Craving a daily dose of intellectual adrenaline? Look no further than the Dana Show podcast, where curiosity meets courage by following on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I hope, unlike so many people who only woke up to October 7th, the people of Gaza have been aware and living every day of October 6th, 5th, 4th, 3, 1, and September 31st, and all the way to 1956. The people of Gaza only decided to break the siege the walls of the concentration camp on October 7th. And yes, I was happy to see people breaking the siege and throwing down the shackles.
So this is the guy who heads up CAIR, C-A-I-R. I don't think I can say on air what I think their name stands for, but it's the Council for Something Islamic, blah, blah, whatever. That's what that means. And this is Nihad Awad, who says that he was happy to see the October 7th attacks. He was acting like there was a siege that was broken. What siege, Lunchbox? There was no siege that was broken. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash with you. There's no siege. And he's acting like as though they were enduring an October 7th. Is that, that's, I guess, basically what he was trying to say? That they were enduring an October, what? Yeah. Oh my gosh. See, sidebar. Like Kane and I, we have a brilliant podcast idea. There's no way to market
we
it.
We do, yes. We cannot even talk about it. I don't even know why you're bringing this up.
Because this whole segment, everything that's happening in my mind right now about this dude would be on that podcast. I can't tell you what the title would be because I'd get fined for saying it.
Thank you.
So there's no way of actually promoting it.
No.
And half of you out there would be like, no, put the filter back. It would. This is nice, Dana. Some people need to get told. I really feel like there's a market for that. I'm just saying. But this guy says, yes, the people of Gaza have the right to self-defense and Israel does not. That's basically what he's saying there. Now, Gaza voted for the terrorist government that they have. The terrorist government enjoys widespread, still to this day, massive popularity. And a lot of the civilians were taking part in these atrocities, right, with the Hamas terrorists. And the argument or the fantasy that there was some sort of occupation is just that. It's a fantasy. The Hamas government's the colonizers. The people that are pushing Hamas are the colonizers. That's the true colonization. That's just all there is to it. So the White House actually condemned the Awad's remarks. They, in a piece by The Hill that said White House condemns CARE director's recent comments about October 7th attacks. And they said that the White House condemned it. Awad released a statement saying that his speech was taken out of context. Out of context. That's a word that these Nazis love, isn't it? Out of context. It wasn't taken out of context. Oh, no. To the contrary, it was so in the context, it was insane. It was so embedded in context. That's the thing. It wasn't that your statement was taken out of context. It's that you said it at all. His attitude on this planet is what's out of context. These people defending this stuff is what is out of context. And the context being a sane people who just want to exist peacefully with everybody else. And the people who don't want to do that, those are the people that are out of context. Those are the ideas that are out of context. Then by out of context, I mean out of step with a civilized society. Civilized people don't dig 300 miles of tunnels in the strip of land that they were welfare given by another sovereign entity. Okay? That's not civilized. It's not civilization. It's out of step with humanity. Tired of this nonsense. Tired of the apologists for it. Tired of the excuses made for it. Tired of all of it. So see, that goes into Kane, as I was saying, what I would like to do for the the podcast stuff.
Yeah.
I'm just putting it out there. A couple of other things to get into. This I have sound bites here that are from people in the Biden administration that want you to believe that everything's great economically and you have no reason to be concerned or grumble about it. So first up is KJP. This is audio soundbite 3. The economy is great. What's the matter with you? Is basically the gist of this. Listen.
But then what's the disconnect between what people are feeling and seeing at the grocery stores, at the tables, and what the president is saying about the
economy? Let me just be real clear. We get into the holiday seasons. We've actually have seen
a decrease in eggs, in bacon, in milk since last year. So we are seeing lowering costs as we're going into the holiday season, as people are going to do some holiday shopping. We're seeing lowering costs in TVs and things that people need to think about as they're going to give a gift to their loved ones. And so we're seeing some costs go down, airline tickets, gas prices. So the work that we have done, the work that this president has done, the investing, whether it's investing in America, whether it's Bidenomics, we're seeing that. We're in a different place than today than we were a year ago.
Investing in America. Oh my gosh. That's investing it. That's spending taxpayer dollars. That's spending taxpayer dollars on, and you never get a return on that investment. You don't get a there's nothing. There's no return on that. Where is she shopping? I'm real curious about this. Where is she going there where her eggs have not increased in price? Where's the girlfriend going? Where's she going?
I think taxpayers pay for everything for them. So I think
they have no concept.
They're just like, "Oh, taxpayers are paying for my eggs still."
Yeah.
No change.
I mean, it is You've had out of control. We've had out of control inflation. Wages absolutely cannot keep up with the cost of everything driven high by inflation. It's just they can't keep up. And then you got this audio soundbite 18. No, not 18. What is it? This is audio soundbite. Oh, sorry, 17. This is his labor secretary. I thought they were changing it from Bidenomics. Did they not do that? They like came out with this whole thing where they were going to change. Bidenomics was so great they had to change the name. This is Biden's deputy labor secretary. Guys, it's working. You're not broke. It's not all in your head. Listen.
Yes, this is another strong jobs report indicative of stable and steady growth. You mentioned the jobs numbers are up. In fact, that low unemployment rate is the lowest unemployment rate for the longest stretch since Diana Ross topped the charts. And so this is part of an overall story of how the economy is strong. Bidenomics is working.
In what realm? It is not working, and it's getting worse. It's getting worse, especially as they still keep pushing towards EVs and all of that. I know people are excited about that Cybertruck, but, you know, and we talked about it. We talked about the Cybertruck, but we got issues with some of the EV stuff. And I was looking at this. Let me pull this piece up. Because this is all so bad. It's all so bad. Nobody's buying them. Nobody's buying them, and they're so expensive. This transition to it, and by the way, I love how Steve goes, is Diana Ross the litmus test? Yes, Diana Ross is the litmus test, apparently, for all the things, you know, economic in the administration. So the bottom has fallen out of the EV market. I was looking at this piece from the Associated Press this morning. Automakers, dealers, and shoppers, they're not buying them. They are not buying them. They said that it's a crucial milestone so far. 1 million new EVs were sold this year, according to Motor Intelligence. The consulting firm also says that EVs accounted for about 7% of sales through November. But they said that's not enough, that the number has to rise in order to address the climate change. Guys, we're all going to die from the weather. Ah! But nobody's appealing. People, they're not appealing. The only time they said that they were somewhat appealing was when gas prices were super high. However, when people do the work and they see the cost of replacing batteries and all of this, then it gets phenomenally, that sales drop off even more when people start doing the math on it. But they said sales paces have slowed. Interest isn't there. I think stuff like the Tesla truck and all of that, I think it's interesting and it sells people, I think, briefly, but overall I think it's people look at it as a trend. And these cars are so expensive to get, like a decent car. It's really pricey to get something that they're used to driving and, you know, gas powered. And then now we have these electric vehicle chargers. Congress gave about almost $8 billion for these. and nothing has been built so far. They agreed in 2021 to spend almost $8 billion to build tens of thousands of electric vehicle charges, these chargers across the country. And they said that, well, so far, not a single one has been built. And then their excuses, because, again, this is what, did we not tell everybody this in the beginning? We told everybody this. You can't just, you know, put a charger up. You have to have like an entire network, and then you have to have the grid has to support it. The infrastructure is not there. All of these things. They said that now their answer is, well, you know, building a network is different. So now the same people who told you that you needed to do this and it needed to be done quickly in order to save the planet, now when asked, okay, it's been, that was in 2021. You haven't done a single damn thing with it. Why not? Well, it's because building a network is different, you guys. Like, you're stupid for not knowing that. They were the dumb ones who sold you on it. Or were they dumb? It's all on purpose. So they said that they're trying to speed up the process. They're trying to streamline the federal permitting for EV chargers. They're trying to do everything possible, guys. But they said that the delays are frustrating and, nobody said they have no chargers. You can't charge a car. Nothing's been built so far. And that's it. In the meantime, they spent billions on it. Billions upon billions. And none have been built. I see a lot more electric vehicles out on the road than I used to. I see more Teslas than I see other types of electric vehicles. But they're ugly. Like, EVs are just not attractive looking. They're really not. Kane, what are some, like, aren't there a lot of muscle cars that are, they're just like dropping to gas power and they're all going to electric and it just sucks?
Yeah, but I see, you see that kind of turning around. I mean, you see what happened with Ford. They are dropping some of their future EV, plans.
Yay.
Because they can't get the support. It's just the free market doesn't support it just yet.
Yeah. Well, they don't. I mean, I'm not against EVs. I'm against, basically treating them like welfare. If the demand isn't there, you can't prop up the demand with government spending. That's just stupid, because that hurts the taxpayer and it doesn't do anything for the market. I mean, if people want them, people want them, but you're not going to sit here and force behavior with, and which is what they're trying to do with domestic policy and economic policy. You're not going to sit here and force people into this behavior. You're not going to get them to love an EV if they don't want an EV. Like, my husband, he thinks EVs are cool. I will not drive one. Because I don't, so much of it sourced from China, and that's my biggest concern. I don't care about the environment. I don't care about that argument. Yes, I believe in conservation and being a good steward of the environment, blah, blah, blah. But I'm not going to drive that car like some sort of award for loving planet Earth. You know, you see that, like, you see these people that are very proud that they're driving their EVs, and they want you to see that they're driving their EVs. Like, look at how much I love the Earth. I must be better than you. Oh, by the way, we're in a season where getting coal would actually be good. Right. Think about how valuable that is right now. Yes, Santa, bring me energy. All my like mom telling me, you don't want coal in your stocking. Well, that's backfired now. I do, Mom. I do want coal in my stocking.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. There's Lorraine has, I can't get over the photo of Hunter Biden's indictments, 9 counts. She's got that up there. And all of the charges, it's the most, there's not going to be any eye vomit, I promise. So you have to go check that out. Also, I don't know if you saw this. I saw this story. This woman was arrested for pouring gas and trying to burn down Martin Luther King Jr.'s birth home, or where he was born, his birth home. And apparently, people had intervened. I guess some Good Samaritans had intervened. There were tourists from Utah who saw her doing it, and they interrupted her. And then the police showed up. They took her into custody. They said literally the house could have been engulfed in flames in a matter of seconds. Was she trying to set it on fire for a riot?
Yeah.
I mean, I hate thinking about that of somebody, but seriously, what else am I to think of? Because, like, we've seen other fake hate crimes, quote unquote hate crimes, crimes that are supposed to be, you know, carried out with, you know, identity politic reasons. It makes you wonder. I'm just saying, just kind of makes you wonder. And then, did you hear about COP28, the climate change people? So while they are lecturing you about eating meat, did you guys see the sweet menu that they had at this conference in Dubai?
Yeah.
Yeah, they had steaks. They had nice, delicious steaks. Wagyu, brisket, ribs, all kinds of delicious stuff on their menu while they're telling you to eat bugs. Not kidding. Bugs. So gross. All right, today in Stupidity, Kane.
All right, it's our president's deputy labor secretary. They're going to brag about these numbers that came out. Mm-hmm. And by the way, every time the numbers come out, they always have to adjust the numbers, and they adjust them like to the negative, which is always funny. But this is him saying exactly what is not the truth. Listen to this.
Yes, this is another strong jobs report indicative of stable and steady growth. You mentioned the jobs numbers are up. In fact, that low unemployment rate is the lowest unemployment rate for the longest stretch since Diana Ross topped the charts. And so this is part of an overall story.
Well, let's look at the Diana Ross measurement.
Right. That's what we're calling success now.
From now on this show, we're going to use Diana Ross as the metric. That's it. All right, folks. That concludes our show this week. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter. Find us on YouTube, Facebook, like, and subscribe. Back with you on Monday.